And Brother Dick, on behalf of the hundreds of lives that you have touched through sermons and prayers and hospital visits and counseling that were possible because you heard the call of God and followed and traded in a physics, master in physics degree and a pilot career and traded in for ministry, on behalf of all the people who've been touched, including us, thank you. Thank you. He is risen. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And at this time, our children may be dismissed for children's worship who are age kindergarten to fourth grade may attend children's worship this morning. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." I had an opportunity on a bike ride, it's last year, to snap this picture on the Joe Stengel Trail. And I'll tell you, the photograph doesn't do it justice. There was a little bit of dampness in the air and dew dripping off of the leaves and off of the grasses, and it was absolutely beautiful. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Morning is a constant reminder, a daily reminder, of the power of the resurrection. And so is springtime. Amen? Don't you just love to see what was dead appear to come back to life? I raked off the flower beds there at the apartment, and sure enough, under all that deadness, there was greenery making its way to the sun. New life. The reality of the resurrection for you and for me, for the individual believer and for the corporate church. The reality for you and me is that you and I have received new life because he gave his life. And we have been freed from the eternal penalty of sin. And because of his resurrection, there are no hopeless cases. Amen? No matter what we look at and face in our life, nothing's hopeless. Not even death. Why? Because for anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been given eternal life. And we'll live forever and ever with him. You see, if Christ's physical body could be raised to life, this means that you and I, as individuals, no matter how dead and desperate our situation, can be raised anew as well. His resurrection has tremendous impact on you and me as individuals, but also you and me as a church. Whenever you see the word church in the New Testament, It comes from the word ecclesia, which means assembly of God, his people. If you have your Bibles and would turn to John chapter 12, verse 21, let me just read there. John 12, verse 24, excuse me. Jesus replied, "Are you not in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God? He is not the God of the dead, but of the living." That's in verse 27. And I think I'm sorry, I don't have my screen up here, so I can't see. Would you mind, Brian, helping me out here? I forgot to get that back set up there. The last several weeks, we have been preaching a series called You Church, which kind of a spinoff of our recognition that when Jesus called his disciples, that he was calling you and me too across thousands of years. If Christ's physical body could be raised to life by the power of God, it makes perfect sense that any barrier that you and I face as individuals or as a church will be removed by the power of God. Even sharing his message to people who may be non-receptive, sharing his message to every people group in the world, and there is no persecution that will extinguish the church. Don't our prayers and thoughts go to those families and those who were executed for their belief in Jesus Christ in Nigeria this past week? You see, this power of the resurrection is more than just words. When Al-Qaeda terrorists stormed that school and began to separate, "Are you a Christian?" It's not my power in and of myself, and it wasn't their power in and of their own spirit and body that said yes. It was the power of Jesus' resurrection, the power of God, that allowed them to identify themselves as followers of Jesus Christ. I've given this sermon a subtitle this morning, and it's the most important sermon ever preached. And I don't know, Dick, I just want to say that of all the sermons that you've preached, your confession that Jesus Christ saved you as a boy at 5 years old is the most important message you've ever preached. And see, as we share our testimony, that too is the most important message ever preached. You may say, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a speaker. I don't have a story to tell. Yes, you do. And we've been learning from each other the last few weeks as we have heard each other's story about God's salvation in each of our lives. You see, Dick has preached a message with his life that goes beyond words and speaks to the power of the gospel that raises the dead to life. This new life does not depend on feelings, nor is it conditional on our failures. This new life is the power of God that gets us up in the face of incredible difficulty. Perhaps the most familiar, beloved, quoted verse in all the Bible is the verse that Paul read earlier. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." You see, as the Apostle John writes these words, he's giving the church words to describe the love and work of God in the world. Words that the church uses all the time to prep the heart to share the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. How many hearts have been moved by that verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." You see, we understand this verse because God has come and shared his love through his Son. And as a result of Jesus now sending you and me into the world, we have become his church, his assembly. Like you, Dick, as a child, I learned to love my Sunday school teacher, and then I learned to love the Jesus that she taught me about, that I seen alive in her life. Through the church, God shares his love. My earliest understanding of the love of God was at home, in the love of my parents. And because my parents loved me, I learned to love Jesus, whom they confessed as their Lord and Savior. The theology of John 3:16 is drawn directly from the verse right before it, John 3:15. These are the words of Jesus, that everyone who believes on him may have eternal life. Everyone who believes may have eternal life. This story is framed within the context of the life of Nicodemus. John 3:16 comes at the end of this story of this ruler of the Jews who comes to Jesus at night. Remember the story? John chapter 3. Nicodemus is a powerful man, and he's seeing what Jesus is doing, and yet he is a member of the Jewish ruling council who had taken a position to be against Jesus because he was causing all kinds of chaos. And if they were to admit that Jesus was the Messiah, they would lose their power. So Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, and he began to ask Jesus questions. You know what Jesus said to Nicodemus? He said, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus was like, "I don't know what you mean." And Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Surely you, in such a high standing as you are, would understand what it means to be born again." Nicodemus couldn't understand. Jesus said, "You must be born of water and of spirit to see the kingdom of God." And so John begins to share as he sums up this interaction that happened between Jesus and Nicodemus as he frames it in John 3:16 and 17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." By the end of the Gospel of John, this was in John 3, by the end of the Gospel of John, we see a very different Nicodemus. If you read the account of John, after Jesus was crucified on the cross, do you remember from your reading who came to get the body of Jesus? Joseph of Arimathea. But Nicodemus came. How do you go from someone who didn't want to be seen being with Jesus to someone who was willing to carry his body in broad daylight? Turn with me to John chapter 19. Verse
verses 38 through 42. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jews, and with Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with the Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Nicodemus was a powerful man, and yet he was ashamed or scared to be identified with Jesus in John chapter 3. So how does a man move from being afraid to be identified with Jesus to a person who is stepping to the front of the line and helping with his burial? I believe that it was possible because of the testimony of his disciples and the testimony of Jesus himself. Nicodemus had been seeing things. As a member of the Jewish ruling council, he kept an eye on those Jesus people. And things were happening. The dead were being raised to life. Lazarus. People were being changed. Little boy shared his lunch and it multiplied into feeding 5,000 people. People who were disassociated and disfranchised from society because of their sickness and illnesses, Jesus went right up to and he touched them. And the testimony of the people continued to impact Nicodemus. That's why it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 through 13, his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, do not be discouraged. Brother Dick, don't be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. And Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You are bringing good news by your testimony. Amen. Brother Dick, thank you for bringing good news this morning through your testimony. Brother Jay, Sister Lisa, and others. Brother Jeff, baptism a few weeks ago. Praise the Lord. How beautiful it is for us to see God at work in you. Let's keep on going. Matthew chapter 28, as Jesus is getting ready to ascend into heaven, he says, then Jesus came to them and said, this is after Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried, and raised again. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. You, church, that's you and me, amen. But we wonder how much we can accomplish. And we wonder what exactly we can do in a world so fraught with problems and heartache and disappointment. I remember over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul was going about fulfilling his call in his life, planting churches. That's what the new start was that Ella was referencing earlier, as we continue to plant new churches, sharing the great news. Paul said, I planted the seed, as he visited Asia Minor and all around there, Greece, Rome. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God makes it grow. Oh, thank God, amen? Because you see, it's not our part, and we can't do God's work. We can't do what He can do. Only He can do what He can do. But it is our job to plant the seed, amen? Thank you for sharing the good news. And as you plant the seed, positive reminders of God's goodness through hard times. As you drop the seed in my life, I move from a guy that's afraid to be identified with Jesus at night and coming to Him in darkness to a guy who's willing to be identified with Him in His death. You, church. So we continue to plant seed and we continue to water. But God makes it grow. People can put Jesus on a cross and in a tomb, but God will raise Him up. Amen. People can plant and water in preparation for the harvest, but only God does this amazing thing that makes the seed that is planted grow. And that's why we accompany every testimony with prayer. Because we realize and acknowledge that our work is not God's work. We do what we can, but only He can make it grow. As marvelous as things that we can do, there's much more that we cannot do. And He does what we cannot do in the life of our family. Amen? When we're facing incredible hardship, like a stroke, He does what we can't do and makes it a way possible for us to move forward with a living, breathing, vibrant testimony for Jesus Christ. I can plant and I can water, but only God does that. Amen? God does what we can't, and He is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or imagine. You see, He creates. This is what He does. He makes stuff out of nothing. We can't do that. He made the dust of the ground that He formed Adam from, and He put within Adam His own image, the image of God in you and me. And deep within each of us is His image. And no matter how deeply buried in the tomb of sin and death, God the Father stands like Jesus did outside the tomb of Lazarus,
and calls you and me to come forth, to rise again in His image in Christ. I can't do that. He can. The church all over, the church universal, is the result of our Lord Jesus giving His life, laying His life down. And because He gave His life, we can live. And because He lives again, we too can walk in newness of life. The church is Christ's resurrected body in the world today. We are raised to new eternal life in Him. Jesus said, "Don't you know that a seed has to die and fall to the ground before it makes many more seeds?" And we can plant and we can water, but only God does that. Amen. So thank you. Thank you for sharing what God is doing in your life. This is the power of the resurrection in you and in me. What a great opportunity for us to think about those who have dropped seeds of the gospel in our lives. Amen, Brian. From the time you were a child, God has put people in your life to share that God loves you. I've got many people that I can think of, both consciously and people I didn't know about, that were fulfilling and living this new life of you, church, the Great Commission, making sure that I stayed on the trail, on the path to newness of life in Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite our ushers to begin to distribute the elements of communion, and Paul to come up and accompany on the keys. Communion here is simply a participation in the life of Jesus Christ. I'd like to read some scripture as the elements are distributed this morning, and please know that everyone is welcome to receive the elements of communion this morning. Mark chapter 14, verses 22 through 25. This is before Jesus has given His life on the cross. In fact, immediately before, they are sharing one last supper together. And He called His disciples together and He shared with them, "I want to eat with you. I want to share with you intimately my life." And so they made preparations in the room, which was just before the Passover. The Passover was when the Jewish people celebrated the Passover Lamb of God. The event in Exodus took the blood of the lamb and put it over the doorposts. And when the death angel came through the camp, every doorpost that had the blood of the lamb on it was passed over by the death angel. And so in preparation, Jesus called His disciples together to share a meal. Let me read from Mark chapter 14. While they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it. It is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and offered it to them. And they all drank from it. And he said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." He said to them, "I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." Thank you. Don't let those words pass you by. Thank you, Jeff. "I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." We eat this bread and we drink this cup on the new side of history. The kingdom of God has come. And we are workers in his vineyard. We plant and we water. And we eagerly anticipate the arrival of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we live gratefully and thankfully for the price that he paid by his body broken for us on the cross. Shall we receive it together? Body of our Lord Jesus Christ broken for us. Jesus held up a cup that evening and said, "This is my blood, which is poured out for you. I'll not eat this bread or drink this cup until I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." And that's where we are. Amen. Let's receive and be thankful. Thank you, Lord, for paying the ultimate price for our salvation. And we believe. We come to you, Lord, in full recognition that without you, we would be hopelessly and eternally lost. But with you, and the power of your resurrection, we live today. And we celebrate because death has lost its hold on me.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the power of your blood and the power of your life. Lead us now as we begin this new year, anew in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand as we sing one last song this morning? Dismissed. Thank you so much. He is risen.
Yes, he is.
Have a great week.
Yes, indeed.
There is power,
power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb.